Starting today, if you travel on 2nd Avenue between Pike Street and Yesler in downtown Seattle, you'll see plastic dividers and parked cars that block out a designated bicycle lane. This is the first time there's been an official protected bike lane in downtown. Scott Kubley thinks a lot about the safety of cyclists, pedestrians, and drivers. Kubley is acting director of Seattle's Transportation Department. He's expected to get the job permanently when the Seattle City Council faces his confirmation vote this week. Kubley comes to Seattle from Chicago, where he was deputy commissioner of that city's transportation department. Ross Reynolds sat down with Scott Kubley last week to talk about his plans for the city. Kubley says when it comes to safety, we have a tendency to focus on one particular mode of transportation over another, but that isn't how he sees things.
I view it in terms of safety for all users. So within my first 5 weeks here on the job, there was a pedestrian that was struck and killed by a vehicle turning. There was a cyclist that was struck and killed by a vehicle turning. There was somebody that was seriously injured by a vehicle making a turn. You know, one of my staff members was struck and sent to the ICU because of a turning commercial vehicle. All of these were commercial vehicles. And then last week you had the woman that was struck and killed on 2nd Avenue by a turning vehicle. And so it's really not about safety favoring one particular mode over the other. It's safety for everybody. And when we put these facilities in, there's data from all over the world showing that it's safer for everyone, cars, bikes, pedestrians.
That's a scary list you just gave. And one might hear that and go, it's crazy dangerous to get around the city. But how do we compare for pedestrians, for bicyclists, for drivers in safety?
No, so Seattle is a safe place to walk. It is a safe place to bike. It's a safe place to drive. We are, I think, second only to Boston in terms of safety. But that being said, that's not enough. We shouldn't accept any fatalities as a part of moving around the city. We should shoot for zero, and we are shooting for zero.
How do we get as close to zero fatalities as possible?
You know, it's really a combination of education, engineering, enforcement, encouragement. We talk about sort of the four E's. So it's teaching folks how to get around the city. So I have little nieces, and so when we walk around Chicago, we make sure that they stop at the driveways the same way they stop at streets, because there could be a car coming out at any time. So it's teaching folks how to, or it's teaching drivers. So I've talked about the crashes. All of those were commercial vehicles. So what do we need to teach commercial drivers about navigating the city? And then there's engineering. So looking at the way our roads and streets are designed, to make sure that they're designed in a way that makes it as safe as possible. And then it's enforcement as well. So when we see people that are violating the rules, that we provide tickets.
Scott Kubley is with us. He's the nominee to be directing Seattle's Department of Transportation. And a lot of it goes on the roads, whether it's a bicycle or whether it's a car. A recent article in Crosscut talked about a third of Seattle streets being in poor shape. How do you plan to address that problem?
You know, I think it's a combination of things. I think it's getting out there and making sure that we fix the streets that are in the worst condition. But I also think it's about prioritizing how we do that. So, you know, in an era of scarce resources, right, we prioritize our paving program based on usage and pavement condition. So if there's a road that's got a lot of folks going up and down it, on particularly on transit, because that's where a lot of the damage to the roadways is a little higher on streets with heavy vehicles on it, we'll prioritize paving those roads. The other thing that we're doing is we're doing preventive maintenance so that when we are fixing things, they're staying fixed. And so we'll do things like a crack sealing program or what's called micro-surfacing, where, you know, we'll repave a street, maybe a residential street, and then come back 4 or 5 years later and seal up the cracks. Or we'll put a thin layer of asphalt over it, a microsurface. And what that does is it extends the life of the road at a much lower cost.
What can Seattle learn from places where you've worked, like Chicago and D.C., in terms of our transportation system? What can you bring from there to here?
A DOT is about a lot more than building big capital projects. You're never going to get away from the need to replace bridges, but there's also an operational component to it that's really important, so that potholes get filled on time, trees get trimmed, roads get resurfaced. But then also, the city DOT owns 30% of the land in the city in the form of right-of-way, public right-of-way. And so we play a big part in creating the places that people live. And so it's incumbent on us to help make those neighborhoods as livable as possible. And so if that's designing streets that people want to shop on, right? Walk up and down to shop on or to live in, or make streets that are safe so people feel comfortable having their kids walk or bike places. Or it can be activating public space so that we create gathering places in the neighborhood where it creates a lively atmosphere in people's neighborhoods. That's what I see our role as. And I think that for years, folks in the Pacific Northwest really led the country in transportation and innovating in transportation, public space, safe infrastructure, things of that nature. Everybody else is paying attention and has caught up.
I've heard you say in some cases exceeded us when it comes to certain aspects of transportation.
Absolutely.
Like where have we been exceeded?
Yeah. So, look at what New York is doing around public space, right? So Times Square is incredibly safe, incredibly pleasant place for folks to come in and visit. Union Square in New York, amazing public space. You can go into Chicago and we put in a protected bike lane in the middle of the Loop, the second biggest CBD in the country, 2 years ago. It feels safer to bike in Midtown Manhattan than it feels to bike in downtown Seattle. And I think for a lot of people, that's pretty unexpected. And I don't know that a lot of people, if you would have said 5 years ago that would be the case or 10 years ago that would be the case, I think people would have laughed.
I've spent some time in Copenhagen, which has a big section of the downtown that's car-free. It's a big movement there and in other cities. And according to Publicola, the mayor's talked to you about the possibility of creating a Times Square-type space in Seattle that would be dedicated to pedestrians. What are your thoughts on that?
It's really interesting. I know the folks that did the planning on Times Square, and there were a lot of skeptics out there. But actually, what's interesting about the Times Square investments that New York has made is it's creating this great public space for folks to gather in and enjoy as pedestrians. But the other thing that it's doing is it's actually making traffic work better because Broadway's a diagonal through that area. And so you had a lot of very complicated intersections. And by pedestrianizing portions of it, it actually made traffic work smoother as well. And so really that's an opportunity to create a win-win. So here in Seattle, we have in the central area three different street grids effectively all colliding at different points, right? So when you're on the southern end, you'll see the 2nd Avenue take a jog to a diagonal and then, or 3rd Avenue and so on. And then at Denny, you see the same thing where the streets start going in a slightly different direction. And so wherever you have those types of situations, you have complicated intersections. There are times when you can actually take a little bit of the space and make the road or the street function more effectively for everybody.
Have you had any experience selling that to merchants? Our Westlake Center used to have the road shut down through the middle of it, and the merchants were up in high dudgeon about that, and now the road goes back through that area. It's still a park on either side, but you have to cross the street to get across it. How do you convince merchants who are really convinced that roads and parking are vital to their economic future?
It's data. I mean, if you're a small business owner or any kind of business owner, right, having customers that be able to access your business is really important. When I was in Chicago, we had a bike share station that we had put in front of a barbecue restaurant, and we had to put it on the street. And so we took up two parking spaces. And it was on the street for about 3 or 4 days before the program launched. And we got an email from the business owner complaining that we had taken up the parking and he needed the parking for customers to access his restaurant. And by the time the letter got to us, it was the day before the program launched. Within the first week, that bike share station was being used 50 times a day. The parking spaces, when we went out and measured how frequently they were being used in a typical day on that block, a parking space was turning over one time. And so you're taking
49 more customers.
49 more customers, exactly. That was in the first week. If you go back now, that same station is being used 100, 150 times a day. And there is no desire on the part of the business there to relocate the station.
Acting Seattle Transportation Department Director Scott Kubley, he spoke with Ross Reynolds. This week, the full Seattle City Council is expected to approve Kubley's appointment as permanent SDOT director. It's The Record. I'm Marcy Silman.